Look who's here, Wendy. It's TV Tony. Tony Fulmer from the Chalet.
Oh, gosh.
Right there in Wilmette, right across from beautiful Panda Express.
Will you stop doing that?
All of a sudden, he's a big TV star. He still comes by to see us. Thank you, Tony, for doing that.
It's my pleasure.
We've seen you on TV, the WGN TV Morning News.
Yes.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You showed up on there. Fear the Walking Dead.
We're through taping for the season.
Are you done for the season? Yeah, strong season. Yeah. Strong season.
Thank you.
I'm always very excited when Tony Fulmer comes in because I took a year off of gardening with a new puppy who trampled everything or ate everything. But it's now the time to get your yard and your perennials, and you got a lot of getting ready for winter, don't you?
It's time to get your landscape order in your business in order. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot to do. And you know, as it gets colder, it only gets a little bit less pleasant. So I've already started.
This is all dictated by the weather. Is that what tells you when it is and isn't time? Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. First of all, I can bet it's time to harvest all your tomatoes and cucumbers and such because we're going to have a huge temperature drop and frost coming our way by the end of the week.
Based on the weather forecast, yes, you probably want to get out there and get those harvested either in the next day or two. Absolutely.
What can you leave out there in the way of vegetables after frost? Are there any ones that...
Oh, yes. All the cold crops. So the cabbages, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, the lettuces are all fine.
All the stuff that I don't like, Tony.
You don't like lettuce?
Leave it out there. Oh, I like lettuce. I do like lettuce.
It's kind of hard to do a salad without.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't like broccoli?
No.
You and George Bush.
No. Don't care for it.
I like it. All right. So people have been wondering about seeding their lawns. Do you do it because then the snow comes? Should you do it now? Did we miss the window? What's going on with lawns?
The optimal time to seed lawns is August 15th to September 15th. Now, in a year like last year when it stayed warm so late, there was a little bit of margin for error and you could go all the way probably up until the 1st of October and be all right. The problem is if you put your grass seed down now and it stayed warm enough that it started germinating, it has this little teeny, teeny, tiny root. And if that ground freezes and that root is damaged by cold temperature, it just collapses. And so
it's not worth the trouble.
It's not worth the trouble. Now, you can, and I guess this is, I understand this is a trick with golf course supervisors.
Yeah.
They do a lot of dormant seeding. So after we get really cold weather and the ground freezes and it starts snowing, they will actually go out and throw the seed on top of the snow.
And really?
That works?
Yes. And then, well,
don't the birds eat it?
There are literally 1 million seeds, Kentucky bluegrass seeds, in a pound of Kentucky blue. So the little bit that a bird would get is nothing. But when the thaws come, it takes the seed down into the little cracks and crevices, and it just waits there until spring, until the soil temperatures are right, and then it starts growing.
This works on golf courses, but would it work at somebody's house, do you think? It should.
Probably not. They're
no?
so different. They're so very different. Probably not. So I don't know why I even told that.
Why is a golf course different? It's more well manicured.
Is that why, Tony? I don't know the answer to that.
It would grow anywhere, right?
Yes.
I don't know if you're kidding or not.
This is Bill that we're talking about here, so.
I don't like broccoli.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Point taken.
All right.
Garden cleanup. Now's the time to do some things. I have Annabelle hydrangeas, and I leave them all winter. I leave the flowers on because I like the way that looks with the snow.
Yes.
I have coneflowers that also have that happen. Can I just leave these things? Do I have to deadhead them or cut them off?
This really gets down to a matter of personal taste.
And grasses, what do you do with those?
Well, that's just it. You have to make a kind of an aesthetic judgment about what is pretty to you. I personally am absolutely certifiably an obsessive, gardener compulsive. Mm-hmm. And so I want it done. Because to me, fall is a slower time of the year to do things than spring.
Yeah.
In the spring, I want to get out and start planting. And sometimes if April is really, really wet, you can't get out there and do these things. And it gets tedious. So I'd rather do it now while it's drier and it's a little bit warmer. So, for example, the Annabelle, absolutely I would leave that up because the flower heads look so nice in winter snow.
They really do.
Yeah. And the thing about your coneflower is that that's great. You'll have finches eating out there in the garden
over
the winter.
Eating the seeds as it dries up.
Yeah. Now, the problem is, the thousands that they miss may turn out to be little seedlings, so you may have coneflower sod next spring all around where that plant is. So there's that to think about, too.
Why does goldenrod do that? I bought it at, there was like a garage sale, and there was a lovely woman there who had a bunch of plants that she had dug up, and they were for sale. I bought some goldenrod because it's beautiful. It's all over my yard. How did that happen?
Aren't you... Well, that was Mother Nature doing what she does with goldenrod. So,
yep, that's what
garage
I told her,
sale Tony. Goldenrod, beware, Wendy.
pay top dollar for your goldenrod, right?
So what? If I got it at the chalet, it wouldn't have spread throughout my yard?
Many of the varieties we have are selected hybrids that are sterile.
Yeah, because this is like a native wildlife, right? It's more like a weed.
Well... It's a native plant. Let's call it a native plant, because a weed by definition is any plant growing out of place. So it sounds like you have some garage sale goldenrod that's now gotten weedy on you.
I bought some garage sale gold as well.
No,
and
that's not
going to
pan out for you. You get what you pay for, Tony. We've said that in the past, right?
That's the motto I live by.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
That's right.
312-981-7200 is the phone number to call. And Mike has a question for Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery. And there you go. How's it going, Mike?
Good, good. Hi. First time on your station with you guys. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have a question for Tony.
Yes, Mike.
Tony, I would like to go out and prune my Rose of Sharon and my lilac, dead wood and branches I don't want. Is that cool to do now, or do I have to wait?
If you literally have branches that are dead, anytime you have dead wood on there, you can go ahead and cut that out. As far as if you do any other kind of maintenance pruning on a lilac, it's going to be problematic because those bloom before June 1st, so they have already set next year's flower buds. So any pruning that you do, you may be taking off next year's potential flowers. So in a perfect world, you would prune those within 4 weeks after they bloom next year. Now, it's different with the Rose of Sharon because that blooms later in the summer. So you can go ahead and prune that now, or you could prune that in April. But with the lilacs, any pruning you do now could be detrimental.
Mike, I did this one time with my lilac bush, and it's very large. Honestly, the next year I had one flower on it because I cut all the buds off. So don't do it.
Okay, thanks for the tip.
You're welcome.
I've got two bushes that are over 50 years old, and I actually have three bushes, and they're 50 years old, and the Rose of Sharon is like 30 years old. So they've really got a setting, and I just wanted to know if it was safe to, you know, kind of trim it, make it look better. If I take the branch off of the lilac, I'm only losing the flowers that would be on that branch, right, Tony?
That is correct, but I guess I misunderstood you. I thought you said you had dead branches on there.
Well, I do in some spots in the inner part of the bush is gigantic, and inside there's some dead wood in there.
Well, you always take off dead wood. Anytime there's dead wood on there, you want to take that off.
Mike, we got to run. Thank you so much for listening.
Sorry. Yeah, you gave me a lot of time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
You appreciate it.
That's Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery, and we'll meet right across from the Panda Express.
Stop it.
A day out of it. We'll take a quick break. If you have any questions for Tony, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Tony Fulmer is here. He's answering your questions. He is the chief horticulturist at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. I've been told to tell you it may or may not be anywhere near Panda Express. So enjoy yourselves.
Get mock orange chicken at that
neighboring... Back to gardening with mock orange. Okay.
I love the smell of a mock orange tree, but you get it for 2 seconds, and then it's just this green bush.
It's what we call a grandmother shrub that doesn't have, you know, it was popular decades ago.
Oh.
And because the fragrance is coming back, but if you have one, you know, you want to tuck it somewhere back in the garden because it doesn't have a lot of seasonal interest when it's not in bloom.
That is a good idea, though, just to fill up a spot that you don't, it's not front and center.
If you're really, really hooked on the fragrance of it and you have to have one, I tuck it
way in the back.
Yeah. Kathy has called
back by
us.
The alley.
She has a question, not about a mock orange tree, but a different fruit tree. How's it going, Kathy?
Hi, it's going great. I bought a Chanticleer pear because I love the white flowers and I needed something whose leaves fell off last because I was trying to block
That's a good start of a
street light. Okay, but it's so messy. These little things fall off.
The fruit,
and
yes.
They get, they get all over the car, and it's awful. Did I make a terrible mistake? Should I have bought, is there a different kind of Chanticleer pear I should have gotten?
Well, there are a number of different ornamental pears. Chanticleer is just one that was selected for its particular shape, but they all have the typical white flower. There is some variety in the leaves, but they're beautiful dark green leaf, great fall color, but they do all have that little hard fruit that's a little bit larger than a piece of pea gravel, so you have that to look forward to every year.
I thought it was a male-female thing, maybe.
No,
you know,
no. Not with pears. No, it is not. So
nice pear.
You have that.
Uh-huh. What'd you say?
I said, nice pear.
So I'm stuck is the bottom line, right?
I'll just say you have a Chanticleer pear now.
Okay, thank you for your time. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Sorry, Kath, it does get messy. I have mulberry bushes in our backyard.
At least with the pear, it's a little hard fruit. With the mulberry, we all know about that.
What does that mean? Is it a male, female? I don't understand what that means.
There are plants that have male flowers and female flowers on separate plants. So,
really?
For example, like hollies,
yeah.
If you want to plant a holly and you want those beautiful red berries,
yeah.
You buy a female and you have to buy at least one male so that the pollen from the male can pollinate the female. Otherwise, you won't have berries
in
the female.
Can you tell by looking at it? How do you determine
you
if it's
can
a,
when
yeah?
you read the tag that says male or female.
Oh, all right. That's, I guess, a good way.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. We got a text. Can I move perennials now like a Japanese anemone?
We're sort of on the cusp of moving things. So I would say the really hardy things like peonies and daylilies, a Japanese anemone would qualify as that. I would do it as soon as you possibly can. And then once the ground freezes because you're moving it a little bit late, make sure you mulch it to keep it anchored in the ground.
How about, can we still plant tulip bulbs this year? Why wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
It's time.
Absolutely. It's perfect time. Because typically we say we don't want people putting them in before the soil temperatures, not air temperatures, before the soil temperatures are 55 and below. And so if you don't have a soil thermometer like Bill.
I have one on me.
I absolutely.
Give me a utility belt. It's right here, just in case.
Next to your slide rule?
Yes.
Yeah. A good rule of thumb is once we've had the first killing frost, then it's time to plant the bulbs. So it is absolutely, you're not late at all.
Could Bill tell us again, why are we throwing broccoli on the golf course?
Oh, it's a long story.
It's not really what we said.
Text me.
We've got time, Bill.
Yeah, it's such
all
a
right.
long story.
This is a great text because this has affected me and plenty of our neighbors.
Uh-oh.
I have mushrooms all over the place in my lawn. What can be done about them?
Okay.
Is it because all the rain and dampness that we've gotten?
Well, it's that, but this is a question that we have in the spring and we have in the fall, and what that means is somewhere in that soil is decaying organic matter.
Mm.
So usually it's a tree or a shrub has died some time ago or been removed, and the roots are starting to decay. So it's decaying organic matter, and so there's nothing to spray. There's nothing you can do. If it's really bugging you, then you can go out and you can try and dig it up and get that decaying organic matter out of there. But there are roots that are down there decaying. So it could be a multi-year process. If it was a big tree that was cut down 10 or 15 years ago and you have roots this big, it could be years of mushrooms growing.
But why did they just start like 2 years ago?
Because the wood has decayed to that point now where it can support fungal life.
Fungal life.
Fungal life.
Didn't you used to get your vitamins there?
Yeah, fungal life, I did.
Until they went out of business, yeah.
Yeah,
it's sad. Panda's in there now.
As far as pruning, should forsythia and other flowering bushes be treated the same way as lilacs?
The general rule is anything that blooms before June 1st is blooming on the growth that it made July, August, and September. So right now the flower buds are sitting on there, so if you go out and prune now, just like the lilac, you'd be taking off next year's potential flowers.
All right, and one more question. Ron has called us, 312-981-7200. Tony Fulmer on the line with us. Ron, what's your question?
Hey, hi, hon. Love you guys. Hey, Tony, I have apple trees, okay, in my backyard.
Okay.
And I get the apples, and then they all fall off.
Okay.
And it does it every year. All my trees do the same thing.
Masking tape, Tony?
Okay. Masking tape is a good thing. One of the things that you have to watch out for is that, how old are the trees?
Oh, some of them are about five, maybe some are about 10 years old, and some okay. are like 3 or 4 years old.
Okay, on the younger ones, it's probably more expected than a mature tree. Sometimes it's an age function. The other thing is that if a tree is, if we've had a mild winter and we have a great spring and there's a lot of flowers and the weather is dry and the bees are working and all those flowers get pollinated, the plant simply can't support all of the apples that are on there. So it will do what is called thinning. And so the plant, if you don't go out and physically remove apples so that you only have one every 6 inches, the tree will do that for you. Now, there are also insects and diseases, but a lot of times in years where it's a heavy fruit crop, it's just a matter of the plant is thinning itself naturally. It just can't support all those apples.
Ron, you're going to have a lot of work to do, it appears. Thank you so much for calling. And one last text. Will those mushrooms we spoke of hurt if a dog eats them? And do you have a listing on the Chalet website of poisonous plants for dogs?
We do not. Have that list up on our website at this point. And the, you know, you can't make that generalization. Many of these things, some are not toxic, some are very toxic.
Some are hallucinogenic. Will your dog be tripping, I guess, is what I want to know.
My dog went to a fish concert, Tony. What's wrong with him?
There we have it.
Yes. All right. You have so much fun with us, don't you?
I look forward to this. Every 2 months.
All right. Well,
thank
well,
you. Because we have you on every month, so that says a lot.
Well, one out of two ain't bad.
That's not bad at all.
50%.
Yeah. Tony Fulmer, he is the chief horticulturist at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, 3132 Lake Avenue. That's the exact address. You don't need landmarks.
It's by Panda Express, all right. though, Wendy. It's right across the street.
ChaletNursery.com is the best way for people to reach you, and their website.
That is correct.
Thank you so much. Happy growing.
Thank you.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening on WGN Radio.